What I dealt with this morning was Jesus Christ. That's the section that I dealt with. I thought it good that those who were present with us this morning, that they would understand that Jesus Christ will be the motivating force in the explanation of this theme. That being so, I thought it good that I define for you scripturally who Jesus Christ is. Since he's going to be doing all of these good things for us, then we need to know who this person is and what advantage would it be to me as an individual to accept him as my personal Savior. So I sought this morning to define who Jesus is. Inasmuch as this is a new audience, let me recap quickly what I said. Now, if you're taking notes, then we are dealing with that first section, which is Jesus Christ. I will mention the other parts of the theme, but I will take it in sections. Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the protagonist of this whole theme, if you're following what I'm saying. The whole theme, the entire green avenue, and the force of the whole theme depends upon Jesus Christ. And so I would think that this great church would want those who may be visiting with us to be clear on what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do is to say to those of our friends who come to share with us here at Greenville Avenue for these few days, we want you to know we care about you. And if perchance you are going through some difficulty in your life, if perchance you once accepted Christ and moved away from him, if perchance you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of your sins, if perchance you have not heard about who this man Jesus Christ is, the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ invited you to be with us so we could, with the Bible, explain who is this individual that can make all men great again. And so that's what we're doing. Now. If you're taking notes and you want to have something to read when you get home, relaxing. Jesus, with reference to the theme, Jesus Christ is the personality. Jesus Christ is the protagonist. Jesus Christ is the personality. Jesus Christ is the one that makes the rest of the theme functional. Who then is he? Who then is Christ? Number one, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We made that clear this morning. That's number one. He is the Messiah. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. He is the Yahshua. The Yahshua, of course, is the Hebrew word for Christ. So, number one, he is the Yahshua. Y-A-H-S-H-U-A, Yahshua. It's the Hebrew word for Christ, the Messiah of the New Testament. That's number one. Number two, who is Christ? Christ is the Christos of the Bible. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-O-U, or T-O-S, the Christos. That's the Greek word for Christ, the Messiah. So then, who is this Christ? Who is this man that can make my life better? Who is this person who can come into my life and turn it upside down and right side up? I mean, who is this fellow? Well, he is the Yahshua of God. He is the Christos of God, which means, Christos means, he is the anointed one. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Anointed twice in the Gospels. Anointed at the River Jordan, Matthew chapter 3. Anointed on the mountain of transfiguration, Matthew 17, verse number 5. This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Two anointings of the Messiah. We know that he was the coming Messiah because he said it in Luke 24, verse number 44. He said, listen, I'm the one that the prophets talked about. I'm he. And he says to us through the gospel, except you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. Who is he? He is the Son of God. He is the one that came walking down metaphorically the avenues of prophecy and paused under the blinking stars of Bethlehem. And went on out and was baptized of John in the river Jordan. Walked the streets of Judea and Capernaum. And the folk didn't care too much about him. Who is he? Well, he was not only the Son of God, but he was born in a borrowed stable. He preached in a borrowed boat. Died and was buried in a borrowed tomb. But then early Sunday morning, he got up. I say he got up. I'll deal with that a little later on in the meeting. When I show you how important this personality, this great and marvelous Savior, how important he is, and how important he will be in our lives, and how significant he was, and how anxious you ought to be to want to have a relationship with him. He was so different and so powerful that when they hung him out there on Golgotha, when they hung him out there on that old rugged cross. The earth got dark twice in one day. Well, that's another for another day. But that's how significant he is. And so what this church is doing is inviting not only all of the members, but even visitors who would care to come to know about this man called Jesus. So he's the protagonist. Now, number two. Not only is Jesus the protagonist of the theme, not only is he the Messiah, not only is he the anointed one, but get this and write it down, he is able. I want to say it again, he's able. You don't have any troubles that he cannot handle. You're not going through any difficulty that he can't handle. And you are not going through anything that he has not already been through. What we are doing is we are recommending to the sinner. We're recommending to Christian believers. We are recommending to interested people. We are recommending that you let Jesus into your life. For if you let him in, he will show you the abundant life. And I'll show you how that's done too, because that's who he is. He came to bring life, not as a thief, but he came to bring life, and he brought life. And the life he brought is the abundant life. Now, the next phrase in your theme, we've dealt with Jesus Christ, who he is. He is the Son of God, and he is the one that we must confess. I did that this morning, showing that when Jesus asked the question, what are people saying about me? Peter, being loquacious, said, thou art the Christ. I mean, the disciples said, they're saying one thing, and then you're Jeremiah, that you're John the Baptist, or you're one of the prophets, but then Jesus wanted to know, what do you say? Peter, being loquacious, Peter said, thou art the Christ. And when he made that statement, Jesus recognized that it wasn't an earthly statement. He recognized that Peter would not have known that if he had not got it from his father. And so he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you. You're not that smart. Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, Peter says to Jesus that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I drove the point this morning, and I didn't have time really to drive it like I wanted to drive it. That confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, came from heaven. And that is the confession. That is the statement upon which the church of Christ is built. The church is built on that confession. That truth. that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, it is on that confession. And we got, and we have these Church of Christ preachers going around talking about, now, just take folk in whether they made that confession or not. It doesn't matter about whether or not they, just take them in. A bunch of lazy preachers don't want to go to work. You know, here's what's happening. You see, here's what's happening. He's fussing now. He started to fussing. Let me get back to where I'm supposed to be. But I was about to tell you. Praise the name of Jesus. If you want to grow your church, you know, don't try to change the Bible to grow your church. You got to come on in. Doesn't matter. If you love the law, come on in. Rascal. Not what the Bible says. Not what the Bible says. But the church was built on that confession. It was on that confession. And there was a preacher in the Bible whom the Holy Spirit led to a sinner. And this preacher preached to this sinner in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And this eunuch, when he came to certain water, he said, I'm ready, let's go. And Peter said, I'm sorry. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I can't baptize you because you want to go be baptized. Christianity is based on that confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the foundation. It's the theological foundation upon which the Church of Christ is built. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if a man does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you don't need to baptize that man because it's not going to help him. You've got to believe. And that's what makes the Church of Christ different from all other denominations. You can't take a man in that does not acknowledge that he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And getting back to where I'm supposed to be, the next word is making. Jesus Christ making. Now that word making, number one, presupposes creating. Presuppose that. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Adam and Eve was made living souls. Adam and Eve was created. So in the theme, Jesus Christ making, Jesus Christ creator. And that's why he's important. And that's why you need to accept him. Because he can create something out of nothing. And while I'm on that, particularly do I want to talk to young folk, give you something out of this theme. And that is this whole business of creation and the Darwinian theory, and that the world came into existence by way of a nebular hypothesis. And that creation does not exist because it is not commensurate with the science of creation. Let me make a statement here. And I want you young folk to listen. There is no such thing as a science of creation. Now, when you go to college, don't forget what you heard Doc say. When you go back to school, don't forget what you heard me say. You heard me say that there is no such thing as a science of creation. That animal does not exist. The Bible is clear. The second word in our theme, making, creating, creator. The second word in that theme, Jesus is the creator. He is the maker. In the beginning, if you want to write something down, John chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. All things were made by Him. All things were made. That's the second word in this theme here. Jesus Christ making. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Because our theme says, Jesus Christ making. Now, there is no such thing as a science of creation. Now, hear me. There is a test in Scripture. And this test appear at the beginning of Holy Scripture. And this test that begins at the beginning of Holy Scripture will determine whether or not you believe in the Darwinian theory. It will determine whether or not you believe the Bible. God put a test at the beginning of Holy Scripture. And if you're going to please God, you have to pass the test that He established at the beginning of Holy Scripture. Now, if you flunk that test, you might as well close up the rest of the Bible. Because there is a test that represents a matriculation examination that determined whether or not you get to go into the kingdom of God. Now here's the test. In the beginning, God created the heavens. That's the test. Now, if you don't believe that, you might as well close up the book. Because if you do not believe that in the beginning, Jesus Christ created, made the whole world, you might as well close up your Bible. Because if you have a problem with this wonderful and great supernatural miracle, if you can't get past that, when you get to the Red Sea, you will have a real problem. You see, you have to pass this test. And you pass this test by having faith. You see, this is what Genesis 1 is, where faith and fidelity begins. If you do not believe that God created the heavens and the earth, if you don't believe that he did it and that it was a wonderful supernatural miracle, if you don't believe that, if you don't see how he could do that, then you're going to have a problem when you get the Jonah and the whale. So that's the test. So there is no, and you got to pass that. If you, listen, with all my love, with all love in my heart for you, I love you, all of you. I don't even know you, and I love you anyway. But listen to me carefully. If you can't get past Genesis 1 and 1, you might as well close up the whole Bible. Because you're going to have some real problems. You're going to have a real problem when Moses throw down his staff and it becomes a snake. You're going to have some real problems. There is no such thing as a science of creation. Now, young lady, let me tell you something. You're a member of the Church of Christ. Young man, you're a member of the Church of Christ. Young lady, young man, yeah, you're a member of the Church of Christ. Now, you're going off to school. Don't you let anybody tell you that there was such a thing as a science of creation. No such thing as a science of creation. Listen to me. Science had nothing to do. Amen. Science had nothing to do with creation. Nothing. There is a thing called the scientific method. And the way the scientific method is, it has two things or three things has to be involved. And that's observation and verification. That's the way science works. Science does not declare a thing scientific if it has not been observed. Oh, y'all don't see where I'm going. If it has not been observed, I verify. So there is no such thing, I keep trying to say to you, there is no such thing as a science of creation. Because science cannot work. without observation and verification. And there were no scientists there. When God says, let us make man. And for a thing to be verified by science, it has to be repeated over and over and over again, and it has to be repeated in a certain way. Well, creation happened when God said, let there be. And the miracle of creation has never been repeated. So because it has never been repeated, science has nothing to do with it, because it has not ever been repeated, which means science could never verify it. So by its own laws, the law of verification, the law of observation, by its own laws, its own accepted laws, indicate and tell me there is no such thing as a science of creation. Now, that was a sidebar, but what I want you to get is that Jesus can make you over. He is the maker. He is the creator of the universe. And if you are in the house and you need to be remade, Jesus can remake you. He can remake you. Jesus can transform you. If any man be, I don't have time to deal with be, but there's a lot of preaching right there in be. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's what Christ will do for you. He will make you a new creature. You don't think like you used to think. You don't do what you used to do. You don't go where you used to go, because now you're a child of God. If any man be, the word be is to exist. If any man exists in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Jesus Christ making. So if you want to be made over, if you want a new making, if you want a new creation, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Nothing you do will ever work positively for you if it's against Jesus' agenda. Now, I know you say, oh, I'm doing a doc. Oh, no, doc, I'm doing fine. I may not be, but I'm doing fine, doc. I'm doing fine. I'm going to stay right here because I'm, you're not doing fine. You're being deceived. Amen. You're being deceived. You cannot even have the newness of life without Jesus Christ. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And so what I'm saying to you is Jesus Christ making all things great again. Jesus Christ making. He doesn't just make some things. He makes all things new again. If you're in this house this morning, if you're not a child of God, just know that you are included in the all men. Jesus Christ making all men. And ladies, that does not exclude you. Because the word that that Greenville Avenue used here, when it said when they decided on all men, that word man is anthropos, which means the human race. So that includes every woman, every man, every boy, and every child who can understand who Jesus is to come to him. So all men. You know, it's not being Calvinistic. All men here means all human beings, all individuals, all men here, anthropos, which means the human race. Jesus can make the human race, the entire human race. Jesus can make that race great. All men, great again. And that's where I stopped this morning. That is with the point I'm about to make now. Great again. You see, great again presupposes a previous greatness. Presupposes. Which means that to be made great again is to be assured that at one time, at some point, you were great. So here's what this congregation, Greenville Avenue, Jesus Christ, the Bible, the Word of God, this preacher, here's what we want everybody to understand, particularly those who have not accepted Jesus Christ. We want you to know that you can be made great if you accept Jesus Christ. Well, how great can I be made? You can be made as great as you were when you were created at the front door of creation. Now, you see, at the front door of creation, we were created. We were created by God. God made us perfect and upright. You were not there. You were not there. Y'all was not there. Y'all was not there. Yet y'all were there. What do you mean, preacher? You and I were there in Adam. Because God only created one man. He didn't create two. He created one. And there's almost 7 billion people on the earth. And when God made Adam, there were figuratively in Adam at the time God made him over 7 billion people. Because everybody was in Adam. Well, you say, I don't understand that. Well, let me break it down. Let me simplify it. God made Adam, and he made him perfect and upright. And all the nations of the earth was in Adam. All human beings were in Adam. So when God decided, listen, it's not good for man to be alone. God did not go back to the dust. God went with where everybody was. Oh, y'all ain't getting this, are you? Yeah. See, God didn't go back to the dirt and start making a woman. He went to Adam. Because that's where everybody was. He went to Adam and went into his side and got a woman out of Adam. That's how we all sin in Adam. We were all in Adam. And so, that's just a sidebar. That didn't cost you anything. Now, you see, again, great again. Adam was in perfect lockstep with God. What a wonderful relationship God and Adam had. Such a perfect, harmonious relationship, God and man. God was talking with the man, and the man was talking to God. What a relationship. They were walking and talking together. No cancer, no tuberculosis, no AIDS, no sickness, no death. Everything was beautiful. But because Adam was in a relationship with God, even the animals were together. The lions and the lambs laid down together. What a beautiful relationship that was. They could eat of every tree in the garden. Except there was one that they couldn't eat of. But they had Adam and Eve had the right and the prerogative to participate with and eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden. Everything, everybody, every animal was in lockstep with each other. Adam knew God, and God knew Adam. And God's plan for Adam was that you're going to be the head of my kingdom. I'm going to establish a kingdom, and I want you to be the head of my kingdom. I want to have a kingdom, God. I want to have a kingdom on earth like the kingdom in heaven. And the kingdom on earth is going to be headed by one whose name is Adam. That relationship was just great. But then you know the story. Up pops the devil. Up pops the devil. And when the devil comes in, he poisoned that relationship. And now the animals are fighting each other. Now man is against the woman, and the woman is against the man. And before even chapter 3, God drove him out of the garden. God came down in the cool of the day and called for them. Adam said, "We hid ourselves." And God, "We hid ourselves because we were naked." And God says, "Who told you you were?" Boy, and that's powerful right there. I got to talking fast here, but that's some powerful stuff. God said, "Who told you that you was naked? Didn't I just hear you say that you was naked? I didn't tell you you was naked." Who told you you were naked? Who you been talking to? Did I hear you say that I'm not going to get this job because I'm black? Who told you? See, y'all done missed that. See, y'all missed that. Yeah, I missed that. Well, you know, I'm not as smart as Jimmy. Jimmy's smart. I'm not smart. So ain't no need of me going to school. Who told you? All right, this is some good preaching right here. Who told you you weren't smart? Smart in what? Sometimes we judge our smartness and we judge our competency by somebody else. If I'm driving a T-Mall Ford and you're driving a Cadillac and you pass by me and leave me in the dust and you're going 75, 80 miles an hour and in my little car, whatever it is, I mean, I can't do but 45. Well, if you were grading me, you would give the cat like the A, give me a D. But who told you that was the way you supposed to grade me? If I am doing all I can do, that's an A, boy. You hear what I mean? Because you ain't going to get no more. You see, young folk, you don't judge yourself based on somebody else. I mean, if I got this T-Mile fold and that booger is in high and I got my foot on the gas, listen, that's all I can get. It's the standard that you use. And you can't use man-made standards. Great again. This relationship over here that was with God, what the Greenville Avenue Church is saying in their theme is, you can have this relationship again. See, what the Greenville Avenue Church is saying to all of its members and all of the guests that you've brought here today, what the Greenville Avenue is saying, listen, honey, listen, you can have. Now, see, your marriage relationship may not be working. Or your family relationship may not be working. But what we are saying to you, you can have not only a marriage relationship that will work, but you can have a family relationship that will work. All you need is to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. And well, Shelton didn't tell me how long I was supposed to preach. So I was in California, Shelton, and I was a young fella then. I'm not too old right now. I'm not admitting. Hey, I was preaching, and not only was I preaching, but I had my foot on the gas, and a fella was sitting there, old fella, you know, and every time I make a point, you know, the Lord. He said, why don't you preach, Doc? Well, okay, then I got another gear. I got another gear, and I was going to town, and I looked over there, and he said, why don't you preach, Doc? All right, so I go, I'll go ahead, and I get another gear, because he's getting on my nerve now. he's getting on my nerve, because I know I'm preaching. And he said, why don't you preach? And I kicked it and I held it. And I looked at him and I say, brother, what do you think I'm doing? Praise the name of Jesus. So you can't allow other people to set standards for you. You see? And what we are saying is, you can have a relationship with Jesus. I'll say more about the relationship as we move forward, because there is no relationship as beautiful as your relationship with Jesus Christ, because you can talk to Jesus Christ anytime. And maybe I won't hear you, and maybe I won't give you what you need, but just know, when you're right with Jesus, you're right with the world. And so Jesus Christ, you know who he is. Jesus Christ, making, that is, he is the creator. He is the creator. And the church is the new creation. Didn't have time to deal with the strangers. Well, maybe I'll deal with that too before I leave. It is strangers. Strangers. In the church, but a stranger. Wow. It's a terrible thing to be a stranger in your own family.
Amen.
Whole different story though. Jesus Christ making, creating. He is the one that can fix our relationship. He can create the kind of relationship that we need. Don't you try to create it. It's already done. It's already done. All I need is to get you to involve yourself in this relationship. And I'll do more with this at 2 p.m. as I deal with how he created that relationship and how we ought to respect that relationship. I'm going to tell you at 2 o'clock why you should want to be in a relationship with Jesus. Why you should be. It ain't about you, really. And that's why relationships do not work. See, a lot of relationships don't work because the relationship is about me. You do it my way or you hit the road.
Amen.
This is the way it's going to be. And if you don't like it, you know what you can do. Don't let the door, you know how to do. It's not a relationship. It's not a relationship. You see, when you're in a relationship, you are on a team.
Amen.
You're on a team, man. You can't hog the ball. You know what I mean? No, I mean, give up the ball, man.
Amen.
That's right.
And if you are here and you want to say yes to the Lord, if you're here and you want to say yes to Jesus, if you're here and you want Jesus to make you over, you just want this church to pray for you that you might remain humble and never forget that you're on a team. Yeah, you're on a team. You're not the whole team. You know, you're on a team. Yeah, you went up and got the rebound. And all right, okay, that's statistically, you're going to get credit for getting that rebound. But your teammate is down there under the goal, and ain't nobody down there but him. And you holding the ball and grinning. Throw the ball, man! Because you're on a team. You're on a team. That's what a relationship is. It's a team. It's a team. And if you just understand that, and you don't want to do anything that the other members of the team don't know you're doing.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The quarterback say, this is 44 dive. That's what we gonna run.
Yes.
44 dive. That's the four back over the four hole. That's the way we going. Ain't no need of you out there dancing on the split-in area out there. And you're talking about, all right, shut up. We going over the four hole. That's where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
In other words, you got to work together.
Yes.
You got to work together. You don't come in and say, baby, I just bought a brand new house out there on Mansion Hill.
Amen.
Say, what? But you ain't said nothing to me. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to tell you. We're talking relationships here. If you want them to work, you have to have a team mindset. Because if you don't have I could just say a whole lot about that because, you know, this is why sometimes marriages don't work. Boy, it got quiet in here then. Wow. I mean, you could hear a rat.
Whoa. I know.
You know, you didn't see in my church down home. When I come across something like that, and my church has been saying, go on, doc, preach, doc, and I hit something, I hit a sudden nerve, and there's a quietness in there. And then I know this is where I really need to be preaching, because they can't say amen in here, right along in here. But if you were here today and you want to say yes to Jesus Christ, you want to give your life to him, I want to give you an invitation to do that. I want you to take advantage of that invitation. Jesus Christ can make us great again. He can make all of us great again. And if you are going through a little difficulty, whatever it is, and we all go through.
Amen.
We all go through.
That's right.
I can't talk about you and you can't talk about me.
I know that's right.
You're not going through what I'm going through. I'm not going through what you're going through. But we are both going through something. We are both going through something. And it may be the same, may not be the same thing. But you got a monkey on your back, I got a monkey on my back. Now let me help you with your monkey, and you help me with my monkey. That's all I'm saying. We just need a little monkey help right along in here. That's all we need.
Amen.
If you want to say yes to Jesus Christ, I want you to do it, because he can make you great again. He can make your relationship great again.
Amen.
Yeah, there's so much I can say about that. You know, sometimes relationships just kind of cool off and cool down. That's a normal thing that you go through. But Jesus can make that relationship great again.
Amen.
And sometimes all it takes is a mindset. That's all it takes. Just a mindset. You know, you don't have to do a whole lot of physical stuff, but just a mindset. It's a mindset. I'm going to talk about that 2 o'clock, about this mindset. I'm in Philippians chapter number 2. Let this mind, do you know what that meant? Let this mind. I'm going to show you what that means, let this mind. And when you find out about let this mind, you're going to have a whole different concept about let this mind. Sometimes we just take a mindset.
That's right.
Don't you? Didn't take money.
I know that's right.
Just the mindset. Make up in my mind that this is the way it's supposed to go. This is the way it's supposed
Amen.
To be.
Right.
And we can do this.
Yeah.
Mindset.
All, right.
All it is. And if you're going to be a part of a team, you got to understand mindset.
Yes.
Amen.
And there's mindset. You may not like that dude. Dribbling the ball like he dribbles. But since he is on the first team, and since you are on the first team, you're going to have to get along with the dude.
Amen.
I know that's right.
You don't have to go home with him, but you're going to have to pass him the ball.
I know that's right.
Relationships. Now, here's what I need you to do. Just know that Jesus loves you. There's nothing you can do that will make him hate you.
Amen.
Hear what I just said. There is nothing you can do that will make God hate you.
Amen.
Nothing. Doc, hey, Doc, I've done some bad stuff. Will you hear what Doc said? There's nothing you can do to make God hate you. Nothing. And the reason he can hate you because of his isness. You see, there is an isness about God. God is love. And his isness prevents him from hating you
Amen.
Because of his isness. You may be a rat, but because of the isness of God, he likes, he loves this rat. He don't love what this rat doing, but he loves this rat. And the reason I know he loves this rat, he woke me up this morning. That doesn't make me right either. But it shows that the God that I love and the God that I respect loves me. Now all I got to do is make up my mind. It's a mindset. Mindset. I dare you to make up your mind. Well, I can't do it. Make up your mind. Make up. Well, I don't like it. Now that's a whole different ball game right there. If you say yes to Jesus, he'll say yes to you. Will you say yes to him? Is your relationship topsy-turvy?
Well,
Jesus Christ can make your relationship great again. If you're not as faithful as you should be, Jesus Christ can give you the impetus to be faithful. You're going to find out this evening that when you understand what a relationship is, you would want to be in church. Nobody to whoop you and take the Bible and Hebrews 10:25 and weigh you out with it. No. If you understand what your relationship is with Jesus and what Jesus' relationship is with you and how you both can work together for your good and for your salvation, you want to be here. Because where there are two or three, he says, I'm in there. Come on in there. Let's be in this thing together. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give out. Never give down. Never give in. Because as long as you have Jesus, you got a chance. That's why that relationship is so important. And if you need the word, if you need to say yes to the word, I want you to do it right now. I'm going to ask everybody, wherever you are, to please stand. Wherever you are, just stand up. And this is the invitation to come to Jesus Christ and let him make you great again. If you need to be made great again, I need you to come and let Jesus Christ lay his spiritual hands on you that you might be great again.
Amen.
Now we're singing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." And while he's passing by, I want you to say yes to him. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Isn't it wonderful to know that he's here and that he's passing by? Now, would you reach out and get him? Don't pass me by, Lord. I'm going to give you a chance to do that. Now, while we're singing, think about it. If you're up there in that balcony and there's a lot of folk up there, we'll wait down here on the floor for you if you want us to pray for you. You pray for us, we pray for you. You pray for me,
amen.
I pray for you. Relationship. And this is one of the ways Jesus will make us great again. Relationships been broken. Many of us who've gone through lives and through life, and our relationship has been broken.
Yes.
Broken over what? Think about it. You know what? I'm a counselor. I'm PhD in psychology, so I have a counseling. But I'm not looking for business. I just said that to say. Most relationships are relationships that get destroyed over minor stuff. think about it. We don't speak anymore. Why? Think about it. Why? I don't like him no more. Well, maybe you have good reason from a physical point of view. But think about it. It may be just minor. Don't major in minors. Don't spend first-rate energies on second-rate things. Think about it. Don't waste your time. He said, sometimes you can waste your time and don't know you're wasting it. There was a story about a man who wanted to get to the top, and he bragged about the fact that he was climbing his ladder, going to the top, climbing it, and he had a desire to be a certain, to be in a certain career, and et cetera, and he was working hard, and he said, I'm climbing like I'm climbing a ladder. And so a few years later, the man he was talking to met him and saw him. And he was down and out. And the man asked him, what happened? You were so energetic. I mean, when we graduated from college, you, couldn't nobody tell you anything. You were on your way to the top. You were climbing.
Amen.
What happened? He said, well, when I got to the top, I found out that my ladder was leaning against the wrong building.
Come on now. Oh. All right.
I got some deep stuff right there. And we can take a collection right here. You be careful of the ladder you're climbing, because it may be leaning against the wrong building. You see, you can't see the top. You just climbing. When we get to the top, it's nothing wrong with having that kind of energy. But just know, every now and then, you better check to see on what building your ladder might be leaning. Because when you get to the top of that ladder and found out that it's leaning on the wrong building, there's nothing you can do. But you can't go all the way back down and then come back up. You need to check your ladder on your way up. Check your relationship. Check it with Jesus. And this is the checkpoint right here. This is the checkpoint. I'm asking you to check. 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 Just check with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's passing by.
Man.
Now all you got to do is just follow him. If any man will come after me, let him first deny himself and then take up his cross and follow me. We sing it, pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, oh, hear my humble cry. why.